The Public News Service Daily Newscast for September the 19th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Controversial books are nothing new, but the incidence of book challenges and bans has increased substantially in recent years. We get this perspective from Ohio.
This week marks the American Library Association's annual Banned Books Week, and this year's theme is Books Unite Us, Censorship Divides Us. The ALA has conducted polling on the issue, which illustrates that 71% of Americans oppose efforts to remove books from public libraries, and 67% oppose efforts to remove books from school libraries. The executive director of the Ohio Library Council, Michelle Francis, says that while Ohio has not seen as many book challenges as other states, the focus of librarians remains the same.
We focus on the freedom to read, and in the state of Ohio, for all of our public libraries, that is something that we cherish and is very close to home when it comes to intellectual freedom. And we know that it is our job to make sure that we have something for everyone in our public libraries.
More information on the ALA's initiative to fight censorship is online at uniteagainstbookbans.org. Brett Pivato reporting.
An intensifying Hurricane Fiona is bringing heavy rains, high winds, and power outages to Puerto Rico. The power has been knocked out to the entire island, according to CNN. They report the big picture, the storm dumping more than 2 feet of rain, causing catastrophic flooding in Puerto Rico. Hurricane-force winds have taken out the island's fragile power grid. Fiona is a Category 1 hurricane, expected to remain that way through landfall in Puerto Rico. CNN reports President Biden declared a federal disaster for Puerto Rico, mobilizing the delivery of aid to the island. And ahead of the general election on November 8th, there is an urgent push for voter registration in states like Arkansas. More on that now from Danielle Smith.
In 2020, 83% of Arkansas citizens reported being registered. In celebration of National Voter Registration Day tomorrow, Kay Abney with the nonpartisan League of Women Voters says they have expanded their community outreach and will be visiting schools, farmers markets, and an art museum for voter registration. She says your vote counts.
I know a lot of people say that your vote does not count, but I know in Arkansas at least that we have had several things that were 30 votes, 20 votes. And you can't tell me that does not count. Also, the other thing is that even if you don't win, which we're not going to always win, nobody does, but at least you have made a statement on what you think. You know, that's one of our few true rights.
By the way, a marijuana legislation initiative was certified for the ballot, although votes on the initiative may not be counted pending a state Supreme Court ruling. This is PNS. On the flip side of the pandemic, for anti-poverty advocates and the people they serve, has been a better understanding of what actually works to counter long-standing poverty. We hear now from our newest member of our team, Catherine Carley.
Childhood poverty was cut nearly in half during the COVID pandemic due to expanded federal programs like the Child Tax Credit and stimulus payments, which also prevented some 5 million Americans from falling below that line. But advocates for the poor say those gains are already being lost since the most helpful programs were not extended, and high inflation is now impacting families as well. But Joe Diamond, executive director of MassCap, a coalition of some 23 community action agencies, says advocates are using lessons learned during the pandemic to help improve people's lives.
We were inspired by the resilience of the people that we serve, and we also were inspired by what we found to be the effectiveness of the programs that we're able to run during the pandemic. And we know our mission now also includes doing our very best to sustain those programs and to continue to work as hard as we can toward our goal of reducing poverty.
Advocates say that could include the creation of a state-funded child tax credit, providing an adequate guaranteed income, and supporting extensive outreach to make sure that every family receives the benefits they need and to which they're entitled.
On the heels of a promising poverty report, there are renewed calls to make permanent certain pandemic policies that help struggling families in Minnesota and around the country.
Last week, an annual Census Bureau report showed that child poverty fell sharply last year to a record low of 5.2%. Arlok Sherman, with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, says that was largely fueled by the temporary expansion of the federal child tax credit. In Minnesota, the Children's Defense Fund urges the legislature to use surplus money to create a separate state child tax credit. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, Eric Lattice tells us Nebraska, one of six states participating in No Child Grieves Alone.
Carly Runestad with the Morning Hope Grief Center says the event will explore ways for parents, teachers, school counselors, and anyone else working with children to support them as they process the loss of a family member or friend.
It's kind of our human nature for us to try and shield children from grief, but grief is really a natural human experience. It's not a problem. We don't need to try to fix it. It is just a universal, healthy reaction to loss.
The one-day conference kicks off at 11 a.m. on September 29th at Morning Hope's campus on South Folsom Street in Lincoln. The event is free to attend, includes lunch, and professionals can earn 3 continuing education credits for a fee. I'm Eric Galatas.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. You can hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.